for me to be here at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. This year is a very special year for devotees. 2016, we are observing the 50th anniversary of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which was established by Srila Prabhupada in New York City in 1966. Therefore, whatever we are doing throughout this year, we are acknowledging and giving credit to Srila Prabhupada for his wonderful contribution to the world. It's about the last major event in our calendar for the year, and that's Bhagavad Gita Jayanti, the anniversary of Lord Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. So the devotees here, they have implemented a series of lectures leading up to Gita Jayanti, beginning with today's lecture. So what they've proposed is the five basic truths taught in the Bhagavad Gita. In the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada, he writes, "The subject of the Gita entails the comprehension of five basic truths." And it's very important for us to apply ourselves to this understanding. These five subjects and their interrelation, how they're interconnected. One, Ishvara, God the Supreme Controller. Two, Jiva, the soul, our identity, who we are, where we came from, why we're here, what's going on. That's described. Three, Prakriti, this cosmic manifestation. The eternal soul has come in contact with matter and we have taken a body made up of material nature. Then, four, Karma. We have a body and we perform activities. And five, Kala, time. All activities are performed in time. Time is calculated as past, present, and future. So today's subject matter, the first, Ishvara. Of course, you will continue to hear about all the topics in all of the classes. So even if I don't do a good job today, you won't miss anything. You'll get the rest in the following lectures. This subject matter of Ishvara or God is quite interesting, in that God is supposed to be the most famous person in the world, right? Unfortunately, the world, people throughout the world, they're not really clear about who God is. If you were to interview 1,000 people, pick out 1,000 people anywhere and interview them and ask them, who is God? You'll be quite surprised to know the diverse opinions. Srila Prabhupada said, why don't you know God? How can you love somebody you don't know? Is that possible? I say love this person, but you don't know anything about the person. How can you love that person? Okay. But if it is possible to know God, how would you know God? It is if God reveals himself. That's how you will know God. If he reveals himself, and if he is supreme, certainly he has that ability to reveal himself. But then again, Why is it that the world doesn't know? Majority of people don't know who God is. Why is that? It's a matter of qualification or disqualification if we don't know. But then somebody may say, well, why should you know? What is the necessity of knowing who God is? Well, that is just to be human. Because there's a definition for human. The scripture says, ahara, nidra, bhaya, maitun, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, that's common both to human beings and animals. The one thing that distinguishes the human being from animals, dharma. Dharmo hitesham adhiko vishesh. The one thing that distinguishes human beings from the animals is dharma. So dharma means, what does it mean? It comes from that root dhar, that which supports, sustain, maintain. So who maintains our existence? You use electricity, you have to pay bill, you're expected to pay that bill. You utilize water, you have to pay bill. You use cell phone, you could say talk is cheap, but not on your cell phone. You gotta pay, right? Yeah, well, you have to respond. So somebody's maintaining our existence. And it's just human to know who is doing that. You know, sometimes there are marketplaces, and if some cow gets in into the marketplace and you got vegetables there, the cow just comes and eat. But if a human being comes in there, then the person will ask, whom does this belong to? How much does it cost? That's human being, right? So it's just human to pursue, to want to know. But very important when we talk about qualification, the quality of humility is required. Humility. In the Bhagavad Gita 13 chapter. Now this is just introduction. We'll get into the subject matter of Ishvara in a little while. But it's necessary that we have the right disposition in order to understand God. So Krishna begins the items of knowledge with humility, amanitvam. And you may wonder, well, what has that got to do with knowledge? Well, we sort of go about in this world as though we are independent and we can control and acquire and accumulate and enjoy. We have that type of approach. And something is wrong with that approach. Because as individuals, we are very much interdependent, not independent. I have eyes. But if the place is dark, there is no light, I can't see. Without the sunlight, I can't see. I have nostrils. But without the air, I am dead. So when we understand how much we are interdependent on whatever exists in this world, then we'll be conscious that there is someone who is sustaining my existence. The very air that keeps me alive. I have some obligation. I'll give you a little example. A couple of years ago, on one of my preaching trips, I visited the British Virgin Islands. So I had to give a Sunday talk at this Hindu temple, but I had to wait about an hour and a half before I deliver my short lecture. Why? Because the priests there, they had this method of singing a song about some particular deity and then or making some havan, some offering, chanting some mantras, and then they'll go to another one and another one. It was quite a wait. And I was a little worried because you've heard that there are about 33 million of them, right? So anyway, all said and done, when the driver was taking me back, I asked him, who or what determines who get worship here and who don't get worship? Because there are a lot of gods, right? So who determines who are worship and who are not? I didn't hear any mantras and any puja to Vayu, the one who supplies the air. So suppose Vayu gets a little upset and decides to turn off, as he did one time when Hanuman, you know. Suppose he does that. So the point is that we have obligation, and how we meet those obligations, we should know. So while there are many religious scriptures in the world, Bhagavad Gita is unique. Bhagavad Gita literally means the song of God. I was the boy growing up. We went to church and we were trained in Youth for Christ, you know, teaching and so on. And the Bible often is said to be the words of God. So in course of time, you know, I was inquiring about who is the God that spoke this. And then they said, no, it's not someone spoke it. Somebody was inspired. People were inspired to write. That's a different thing. Bhagavad Gita means the direct word. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. God is speaking. And we should hear from him. In the third chapter, Krishna says, Ye me matang idang nityam anutishtanti manava. This English word man comes from that Sanskrit root manava, manusha. Krishna says, his instructions is meant to be followed by human beings in an ongoing way. And Krishna, he doesn't have any reservation about telling us the consequences. He says, those who out of envy, yetu etarabhyasuyanto nanu ishtishtanti me matang, those who out of envy disregard these teachings and don't follow them, they're doomed to ignorance and bondage. In other words, if we claim to be human, we have some obligation to hear from God what we should do and what we should not do. So, Krishna told Arjuna that you should act for perfection in full knowledge of me, and all your results surrendered unto me. That's a big claim, right? To ask, surrender to me all your results for me in full knowledge of me, but he hasn't spoken anything about himself as yet. So we'll begin by taking a look at how Krishna follows up this request in the Bhagavad Gita. Fourth chapter is transcendental knowledge, knowledge that is beyond what you can just gather by your senses, knowledge about the soul, knowledge about God, as we said, is when God reveals himself. So he begins this chapter by saying, Imang vivashvate yogam proktavan aham avyam vivashvan manave praha manurikshvakave bravat. That I first gave this knowledge to the sun god, Vivashvan. And he passed it on to Manu, Ikshvaku. And then he gave the print, how the system, how this knowledge should be received. Evam parampara praktam. It has to be received through this chain. It was passed down through disciplic succession. And this is how you should hear this knowledge. What is this knowledge about? Saivayam mayatedya yoga prokta puratana bhakto sime sakhacheti rahasyam hietad uttamam. He says that this science of the soul and the soul's relationship with the Supreme, that is told today by me to you. Why? Bhakto sime sakhacheti. Because you're my devotee. Bhakta and sakha. Therefore, this knowledge that is rahasyam, very confidential. Because you're my devotee and friend, I'll reveal to you. If you have something very confidential, you got plenty money, right? You won't go broadcasting it, I keep it in such and such place. No. Krishna has something confidential and he reveals it to those who are very close. Arjuna says, hang on, Krishna. Something confusing here. Aparam bhavato janma, param janma vivashvataha. Katham etad vijaniyam tvam adau proktavaniti. You said you first gave this knowledge to the sun god, Vivashvan, and you said adau in the beginning. That's millions of years ago. But Krishna, I know you. You're my contemporary. You just appeared recently as a son of Vasudeva and Devaki. So katham etad, how am I to understand this? And Krishna said, good question. Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tava cha Arjuna. Arjun, many, many times we have appeared in this world. We have appeared many times. But I can remember all of this. You cannot. This is special about God, that he knows everything all the time. So then he starts to reveal information about himself. Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san, that although I am aja, unborn, and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all beings, I appear in this world millennium after millennium by my own energy. Krishna knows everything. Therefore, he is the most qualified person to give knowledge about himself and everything. He says in the seventh chapter, Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mangtu veda nakaschana. As the Supreme Lord, I know everything, past, present, and future, and I know all beings. But mangtu veda nakaschana, but people don't know me. So he knows everything and he can give information. So he is saying that I appear in this world millennium after millennium. We were very proud of quoting John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son." But then later on, we started to wonder, if the Son could come, who can stop the Father from coming? Does that make sense? First of all, it says he has one Son. Is that true? God is saying in Gita, "Pitaham asya jagato." I'm the father of the entire universe. Somebody else making children? So the idea is that Krishna is confirming that he comes to this world. And then he says what he comes for. Yada yada hi dharmasya. You can all chant that, right? Yada yada hi dharmasya. Glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya taratmanam srija. And the next one, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma sangsthapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. He's explaining the purpose of his coming. When there is dharma glani, there's decline in religion, rise in irreligion, he descends. Paritranaya sadhunam, he'll deliver the devotees vinashaya cha duskritam. He'll destroy the demoniac elements. He performs these wonderful activities. Now this is something that in religion and religious scriptures in the world, people are not aware of. Detailed knowledge is not easily available. Detailed knowledge. Now it is not that God cannot give, but again it comes down to who you will give what. Who you will give information to. If you are a professor and you're a teacher, and you have to teach in the school, the little kindergarten children, you will be teaching them the ABC and so on. But then when you go to a higher level, you will be giving different information. You will give according to what people can assimilate, what they can understand. So sometimes people find it very confusing. They say this religious thing is troublesome, right? People want to say there is one God, but then why did he make so many religions, so many religious scriptures, and people quarreling and fighting, mine is the only one. Why? It's just because people are situated differently. There's three gunas, three modes of material nature. And according to people's conditioning, then God reveals information according to what people can understand. If someone call you at the temple here and say, I want to visit the temple, how do I get there? Your first question will be, "Well, where are you calling from?" "Oh, I am at the airport." Well, you give such and such direction. One of the persons say, "Well, why am I in Vrindavan?" "Oh, well, you give a different set of direction to get to the same place. Different direction, but to get to the same place." So people are situated differently, and information is revealed according to people's capacity and ability to understand. So you'll find in the Vedic scriptures detailed information, but that doesn't mean that everyone knows or has access to it. Krishna says, "Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha mudho yang nabijanati." I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. To them, I remain covered. Again, back to qualification. Detailed knowledge is revealed to those who are confidential. I used to listen to a Bible broadcast, and it started with an introduction song. My Lord can move the highest mountain, make a way across the sea. After I became a devotee, I said, oh, wait a minute. Who lifts mountain? That's Giridhari, right? Huh? Krishna is lifting mountain, Ram is making way across the sea. That's Bhagavat and Ramayana. I didn't see that in Bible detailed description. It just means that more detailed information is revealed. But to the general mass of people, it remains a mystery. And that's why we're giving credit to Srila Prabhupada. Every year for Janamashtami, people all over, they would honor Krishna. But I was doing some television program for Janamashtami and making the point that the last 50 years has not been the same. Srila Prabhupada taught people all over the planet, in Africa, in China, in Australia. People are observing the birth of Krishna, and not as just one of the many gods. Okay, well, it's Hanuman Jayanti, we do something for him. It's some Ganesh Utsav, we do something for him. Oh, Janamashtami, oh, we do something for Krishna. We don't have anything against him. We do offering. No. Not that type. Srila Prabhupada established proper tattva gyan. So if we understand, as Krishna says, the next verse, janma karma chame divyam. If you understand my janma, my birth and my karma, my activities, that are divyam, divine. If you understand this in tatvataha, in truth, then tyaktva deham, when you give up this body, you will not have to take birth in this world again. You will attain my eternal abode. What does that mean? It means that if you know the truth about who you are and who God is, that will result in something very profound. We'll just move a little bit to the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna speaks the entire Bhagavad Gita message in 4 shlokas, chatur shloki. Entire message of Gita contained in these 4 verses. So Krishna, now very important, Bhagavad Gita contains the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. These 3 categories of knowledge. If anybody is pursuing some religious thing, some religious cultivating, hearing some religion, religious lecture, some following something. If a person doesn't have these 3 categories of knowledge, there's a good chance he's falling out of blind faith. He's not clear what he's doing. 1, sambandha, relationship, knowing your relationship with your source, God. When you know that, abhideya, your duty. And when you perform that duty, what will you attain? How would that supreme reciprocate? The essence of all knowledge is contained in these 4 verses. So Krishna begins Aham sarvasya prabhavu. Mataha sarvam pravartati. That everything, material, spiritual, everything emanates from me. And he says, the wise who knows this perfectly, he does something, engages in my devotional service, and worships me with all their heart. That person is described. If you know everything, you know who is the source of everything, Krishna describes that person as wise. And everybody else, he described them as otherwise. Not Buddha, maybe Mudha, Naradhama, Maya Paharita Gyan, Asurbhav. He described people who don't know him as the source of everything. They don't follow his instruction. And you know what? If you don't follow, you will fall low. Adhoga chanti tamasa. Krishna warns, ye shastra vidhim utsrija. If you don't follow this shastra vidhi, this instruction that I am giving, 9.3 he says, ashradhana purusha, those persons who are ashradha, who don't have faith in what I am saying, mrityu samsara vartmani, they return to this path of repeated birth and death. Mrityu samsara. So Krishna is saying in the first verse of this Chaturshloki, relationship, aham sarvasya prabhavo, that everything comes from me. So knowing our identity, very important. If you don't know what a cell phone is, if you don't know what a computer, a laptop is, then you don't know what it is to be used for. We can do chuck your car tire if you have a flat with your laptop. If you don't know what it is, you don't know what it is used for. When we know our identity, then only we can know what we're supposed to do. So if the soul comes from Krishna, Krishna says, if you know that, then you will serve me with bhav, with devotion. That will be the result, what you will do. So knowledge results. You know that relationship. A lot of people don't know that. I'll just pause a little bit. I'll get back to this Chaturshloki. But just to let you know how important this knowledge is of relationship. Although people may be religious, it's nice, they're religious. But if they don't have clear understanding of their identity and their source, they don't know what they're supposed to do in relation to God. For the purpose of study, it's nice. I like, you know, in 4th chapter, Krishna says how to learn the truth. You approach a guru. 4:34, he says that you approach a guru. But then Krishna says that when you approach the guru and you learn the truth, what is that truth that you would learn? Yaj gyatva na punar moham is saying, having obtained real knowledge from the self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme. In other words, that they are mine. Having proper knowledge means to, when you learn the truth, you will know who you belong to. Arjun, you are thinking your cousins, your teacher, your grandfather. But do you think that they belong to you and just you and them? No. They all belong to me and you belong to me. And because you do not understand that reality, that you belong to me and what's your relationship with me, then just based on that separate understanding, you're deluded. Only by having that proper understanding of our source. And very amazing, Krishna says, if you have that knowledge, the next verse he says, even if you are considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you will be able to cross over the ocean of miseries. If you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, what is that knowledge? Listen to what Srila Prabhupada says. Proper understanding of one's constitutional position in relationship to Krishna is so nice that it can at once lift one from the struggle for existence which goes on in the ocean of nescience. Knowledge of that relationship is so important. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jeev Krishna Das A Vishwas Korle Tuar Dukhanai. If you are convinced of this fact that Jeev Krishna Das, you know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaching, Sanatan, Jivira Swarup. Sanatan wanted to know, people call me Pandit. They say I am learned. But Sanatan said, but I don't know who I am. Ke ami ke tapatra. I don't know who I am. I don't know why I am suffering the miseries of this world. So Mahaprabhu, in answering, Jivira Swarup Hai Krishnira Nitya Das. Only when you understand that the Jeev, the soul is Nitya Krishna Das, only then Korle Tuar Dukhana, your suffering will go away. Because you'll act properly. And Krishna says, Aham Tuang Sarva Pap, I'll free you from all sin. Ma Shuchaha, have no fear. Only that person who is acting in a relationship will be free. The next verse, as a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions to material activities. We are always acting. But if you have knowledge of your relationship with your source, and Prabhupada again in the purport says, perfect knowledge of self and super self and of their relationship is compared herein to fire. That knowledge of swarup, constitutional position, if that knowledge, if we are not situated in that knowledge, abideya, duty, every action will produce a reaction, even if we are a religious person. If we don't know our relationship with our source, like Ishapanishad says, Ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. If everything in the universe is owned and controlled by Krishna, and you don't know that relationship, you have a problem, Prabhupada said. Suppose a bunch of boys go and steal a bag of oranges, and then they come among themselves and they say, let us divide up this honestly. What is the honesty? It is stolen. You have stolen this. Now you want to divide up honestly. So if you do not know Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam, if you don't know who everything belongs to, your every action will produce a reaction. So back to Chatur Shloki. The next verse is dealing with abhideya, duty. If you know you come from Krishna, then Krishna says, Buddha Bhava Samanvita, you would worship me with all your heart. Next verse, how would you do that? Machita margata prana bodhayantaha parasparam kathayantascha mang nityam tushyanti charamanticha. Now remember, when we want to be happy, thoughts, words, and action, that's how we pursue, right? You see, everybody in this world, they're looking for two things. One, they want to be happy. And two, be free from suffering. Anybody will argue with that? Everybody want to be happy, and they want to be free from suffering. But their thoughts, words, and activities are misdirected. So here, when a person is situated in proper knowledge, Krishna says, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So thoughts, words, and activities are meant to be directed to that Ishwara, that Supreme. All attractive. Krishna mean all attractive. Rama means he is reservoir of all pleasure. You know Govinda? Govinda, he gives pleasure to the cows. He gives pleasure to the senses. So the senses has to be connected. Definition of bhakti? Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam. When the senses is engaged in the master of the senses, that bhakti uchate, that is bhakti. So because he is the reservoir of all pleasure, when our thoughts, words, and activities are connected to the reservoir of all pleasure, we'll be happy. And if we do not make that effort to connect with Krishna, everything, our thoughts, words, our activities, everything, bad business. Krishna says, Yehi sansparshaja bhoga dukhayonaya evate. You try to connect the senses with the objects of this world, Krishna says, dukhayoni. That is the source of suffering. That contacting the senses, it will produce serious reaction. So soul is eternal, Krishna is eternal, and we have to make that proper connection. So Krishna is saying, that's how you do it. That is what devotee is. So again in the next verse, very confidential, this is abhideya, what you should do, your thoughts, words, and action. The next verse, Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Those persons, those devotees, who are constantly devoted to serving me with priti, dadami buddhi, I'll give them the understanding. I'll give that understanding, whereby they can come to me. And how would he do it? Next verse. तेजामेवानुकम पारतम हम ज्ञान जम तमह नाशयामी आत्म भावस्तो ज्ञान दीपे न भास्वता टू शो देम स्पेशल मर्सी आई एम राइट विथ इन द हार्ट. कृष्णा इज सेइंग ही इज राइट विथ इन द हार्ट. So he's right within the heart, and if we are convinced about that, he is right within the heart, he says, those devotees who are constantly devoted to serving me with priti, I will destroy. I'll give gyan. You know, he says, I give smriti, gyan, apohanam cha, 15th chapter, 15. Again, Hriday Sannivishta, I am seated in the heart, and I give remembrance, knowledge, forgetfulness. So those who are constantly devoted to serving with love, Krishna reciprocates. Because he witnesses, Upadrashta Anumanta, he is the witness and he is the permitter. He is right there. He'll destroy the ignorance. He will give knowledge. So, Krishna, there is no shortage of information that Krishna is giving. He is revealing. Bhagavad Gita is full of information, but again, it is back to us to adopt the proper qualification. So while Bhagavad Gita may be giving so much information about Ishvara, God the Supreme Controller, it is not that Krishna is just blowing up his trumpet, I am great, everything come from... The purpose is ultimately to free us from our suffering. An example is in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The first verse, he speaks 6 chapters, and he concludes 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita by saying the best of all yogis is the one who engages in bhakti. Shraddhavan bhajate yo mam. That person who has faith, always thinks of me within himself, he is the uttama, he is the topmost. Okay? Best yogi. How does that person go about doing that bhakti now? First verse, middle 6 chapters, Krishna begins. Maya saktamana parta yogam yunjan marashaya. Asangshayam samagramam yatha gyasyasi tatrino. Arjun, tatrino, you hear from me how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, maya sakta, mine in full consciousness of me, mine attached to me. If you practice like that, then you can know me in full, samagram, in full. Because he will reciprocate, he'll give. But then, for us to be convinced, Krishna tells Arjuna, Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyami asheshata. I am telling you everything, Arjuna. I am telling you everything about this world. And myself, the source of this world. So he goes on to say, Bhumi, Rapun, earth, water, fire, air, all these elements, they come from me. It is my bhina prakriti, my separate material energy. But very important news for us. Besides this, apareyam itashtuanyam prakritim vidhi me param. Besides this apara, this inferior, this matter, there is a para prakriti. Para prakriti. What is that? jiva-bhuta. Jivas, conscious beings, yedam-dharyate jagat. We, the souls, conscious beings, we have a body made up of matter. And with this body, we are trying to control and enjoy matter. And we are getting tied up. So Krishna is saying, you should know that everything you see in this world is just a combination of para and apara prakriti, souls and matter. Taking matter, building a building, souls with bodies trying to enjoy, this is what is going on. Everything you see is a combination of para and apara, but Krishna says, Mataha parataram na anyat kinchirasti dhananjaya. But you should know that there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. You may not see the thread. You're just seeing, you'll see the pearls, but there's a thread that is holding everything together. So Krishna is holding the whole cosmos. He jivanam sarva bhuteshu. He's the life of all that lives. Krishna is, you see someone is very intelligent. Budhir budhimatam asmi. That person's intelligence. I am the intelligence of the intelligent. He just has a little bit. You know, there was a great boxer named Muhammad Ali. At least not very long ago he passed away, right? He was very, very powerful. He used to beat them up and say, I'm the greatest. But then somebody beat him up and say, I'm the latest. So, balam balavatang chaham, the strength that a person has in this world, it's not our strength. Bhagavan is the possessor of all strength. So someone may manifest some strength, some power for a little while. But that total power, Krishna is saying, that's me. But then, is it Krishna just, I am great? No. The purpose is Krishna is saying, look, all souls in this world, tribhir guna mair bhava irebhi sarvam idang jagat, mohitang na abhijanati. Due to this moha, these three gunas, everybody, all souls, they're deluded by this maya. Mohitang, na abhijanati, they don't know me. What to speak about Krishna? We don't even know ourselves in Maya. When the place is dark, totally dark, you cannot see yourself even. You cannot see anybody, you cannot see anything. But Krishna, Surya, Sama, Maya, Hayandakar, Krishna is like the sun. So when sunrise, you see yourself, you see everyone, you see everything very clearly. So in this Maya, people don't know who they are, they don't know who God is, they don't know anything. So Krishna says, Daivihyesha gunamai mama maya durachaya. This Maya, very difficult. You cannot overcome this Maya by your material expertise. Oh, I've got PhD. I have got very good qualification, you know. Well, even if you can hit every ball you face for six, or you can knock down the stumps every time you bowl, you might get a lot of credit in this world, right? You may make good statistics in this world. But that wouldn't keep off Jamadutas. And that wouldn't get you beyond this mrityu samsara. Any expertise in this world, Prabhupada used to say, even if you're Olympic gold medalist, great swimmer, but if you are dropped in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, tough luck. You won't be able to save yourself. So, that expertise in this world, that won't work. There's only one way. And when Krishna say, Mam eva ye prapadyante, you have to take shelter. You have to surrender to me. If you have to get to Delhi, okay? Well, you can put on some good pair of shoes and start walking, right? But if you take shelter of a vehicle, you take shelter of an aircraft, not your ability alone, but you take shelter, then you will easily get there. So like that, Krishna is saying, Mam eva ye prapadyante, you take shelter, you surrender to me. Mayam etam tarantite. Krishna will take us. Therefore, Krishna concludes Gita. He concludes Gita by simply saying, look, Arjun, I'll tell you the most confidential part of all knowledge. Now, you may be wondering, I don't have very high IQ. I don't have PhD. Will I understand that? Well, Krishna simply says, Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mang namaskuru. You just always think of me. You become my devotee, offer your homage, you worship me. And prati jane priyosi me. I promise you, you will come back to me. I promise you this. So even Krishna is giving so much information about himself in Bhagavad Gita, it comes right back to us, sincerely desiring that I want to know the truth, I want to live by the truth, and there is no shortage of information. Krishna will reveal. He'll reciprocate in many ways. So that is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. We can go into so much detail, Krishna, here again and again, but basically the idea is, and how Srila Prabhupada, now if you as a devotee ever attempted to preach to a non-devotee, try to convince them, you would know. It's not easy. Just before I went to a studio to get a photograph, because I had to get an Indian visa. I had to go to Indian embassy in my country. So after getting the photograph, the gentleman there, I started to speak to him. And he was just like, oh, how do you know? He said, nobody knows God. And how do you know this? And how do you know if there's just... And I spoke to him for about 45 minutes. And this, although I refuted all his arguments, he remained unconvinced, doubtful. So Krishna says, Ashradha Agya. Some people are just in ignorance. They don't know. But then Ashradhana. ashraddha, they have no faith. And sankshayatma, doubting. So imagine Srila Prabhupada went all over the world. And he created faith. Somebody asked Prabhupada, they say it's not proper, it's an offense to teach the Lord's glories to the faithless. How you did that? That's offense. Prabhupada said, I created faith in the faithless and then preached to them. In Bhagavad Gita 9:3, Prabhupada says, faith is created by association with devotees. In the beginning, someone may come here, has little faith, adaushadha, preliminary faith. Somebody just invited, he came. But that same person, if he associates with devotees, then after some time, he's chanting Hare Krishna, he's doing seva, he's doing so much. So that association, sadhu sangha. So today we are grateful that Srila Prabhupada formed this international society for Krishna consciousness, fulfilling the prophecy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that this message will spread to every town and village. Bhagavad Gita was known all over the world. It was known all over the world. But Prabhupada said, what are they understanding about Gita? You have a bottle of honey, so you are licking this side, lick this side, lick that side. How long you'll have to go licking bottle to taste honey? There is a way you have to open the bottle. So that opening of the bottle, that secret Krishna is saying, Tesham Satata Yuktanam. Those who are constantly devoted to serving me with priti, the Dami Buddhi, I'll give the intelligence. So Srila Prabhupada created that faith in people all over the world. So that is the special mercy we have in this age of Kali Yuga. Otherwise, it is people are hopeless without this knowledge. So today, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita, Raja Vidya, king of all education, it is available all over the world to people. So thank you all very much. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. We do have some time. So if you have any points for discussion, we can discuss a little. And mind you, this Radha Gopinath Mandir is the intellectual capital in Hare Krishna movement. So if I cannot answer anything, I just have to call on some devotee from here and they'll explain anything. So I'm confident. So does anyone have any question, any comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. As Krishna, I mean, the God is eternal and the living entity, spirit soul, is also eternal. For eternality of God, we apply the word Anadi Govind, which means that he is beginningless. And if the same word is used for conditioned souls as a Nitya Mukta or Anadi Bahirmukh, then we start interpreting that word as something which must have begun sometime. We say that the Jiva fell down from Vaikuntha. That means it had a beginning sometimes. That kind of understanding, is it not our own binding with the powerful impact of the time factor?
While we are in the material world and we are conditioned by the time factor, we have a tendency to think like that. That beginning like that, we have that tendency. So, one senior devotee, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, I remember in his art, in some article, he explains it very nicely, but also in Bhagavad, Krishna speaking to Uddhava, that point is addressed very nicely. You know, so yes, we have that tendency, you know, to think, okay, living entity, eternal, anadi, but when it is applied to Krishna and when it is applied to our existence, you know, so we have a tendency, you know, to try to project things of this world. So in a general way, it's good to know our limitations, our material conditioning. It doesn't allow us to understand the details of those transcendental truths. A simple example. If I tell you, think of one car, that's not a problem, right? You can picture one car very nicely. So when I say think of 10 cars, it starts to go a little, you know, vague. When I say think of 1,000 cars, it starts to go beyond the scope of the mind. If I say 1,000,000 cars, you know, so that's just a material example, you know. So when we're analyzing, you know, Krishna consciousness philosophy, we should always know that we are very tiny, we are very limited, and what is necessary to know, if we humbly submit to Krishna, what is necessary, he'll reveal. Like sometimes we have doubts, you know, we are reading, this doubt come, that doubt come. I remember when I was a new devotee, you were reading and you have a problem with something. So some Maharaj comes, and you very serious, you go and you ask Maharaj, but this Maharaj, this thing is contradictory here. And Maharaj, like, so what? He doesn't make any big deal, because he deal with so many doubts, so many contradictions, so many things. That doesn't bother and affect his faith. I am affected by it, you know, I'm thinking, but, you know, contradictory. So yeah, things may be like that, but we should have the approach. It will get revealed, if necessary, later on.
Question, Prabhuji. We are right now going through the Bhagavatam in 87th chapter, I think, prayers by the personified Vedas. There also at one point of time, the Vedas pray and speak about the living entity's existence, and they mention one particular category as they are eternally rotting in the material world.
Yeah, I was glad they didn't ask me to give Bhagavatam class on those verses.
Bhagavatam commentary, but it is there in the Krishna book.
Yeah, so those terms may be like Nitya Badha, you know, eternally bound. Word may be used Nitya Badha, but then someone could say what we are praying, I Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitamam Vish, O son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servitor. But somehow, Patitamam, somehow I have fallen. There is some Bhuta Siddhi when we are doing puja and so on. I am by nature the eternal servant of Krishna, but by misfortune due to being inimical towards him since time immemorial, I've been wandering in the cycle of birth and death. You know, there's some prayer that when we're doing worship to establish, you know, ourselves in proper mood. But sometimes these terms are there, Nitya Badha. Nitya Badha. But soul is eternal. Nitya Krishna Das. So terms are, you know, used like that sometimes. Anybody, any other question? Comment? Someone at the back. We got the microphone there.
as Lord says in Bhagavad Gita that everything emanates from me. In Bible also, Bible and Quran also purport the same thing. So would you like to comment on it?
Well, that's definition of God. Janmadiya Setaha. Definition of God is that God is Him from whom everything emanates. So which scripture will not agree with that? All scriptures should agree that by definition, God is source of everything. So that's basic idea. That may be stated in all scriptures. It's just that sometimes the details of how that is so may vary a bit and cause people's mind to become a little confused this way, that way, because some follower of the Vedic scripture may talk about, you know, Sarga and Visarga. He'll talk about this creation and that creation. And so they'll talk about Mahavishnu and everything. So sometimes you talk about creation, and when they talk about Brahma as the creator, then they think, well, that's everything. Brahma is God. He created everything. So then now it has to be explained that, look, Brahma's creation is just like some engineer was given all these facilities and he built the house. It is not his house and it is not his material. He put it together. So Brahma, that creator, he is telling about who is Sarva Karana Karanam. That Ishvara Paramaha Krishna. He is Sachitananda Vigra. An Adir Adir Govinda. That Govinda, an Adir. He doesn't come from anything. He's Adir. He's the origin of everything. And Sarva Karana Karanam. Brahmaji is saying that. So people in general may say Brahma is creator. So just different religions may have different idea. But remember, we have to go different. They say sky is unlimited. Different birds, according to their capacity, they fly different heights. So similarly, God, He is unlimited and He reveals different level. Okay?
Okay.
Somebody else had some question? Okay. Anybody else? Anything else? No? Okay. We can conclude here. Okay. Well, thank you all very much. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Nitai Guru Premana.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji, for your wonderful lecture.
Hare Krishna.
So, first of all, we would like to welcome all those devotees to our temple who have come for the very first time. सबसे पहले हम उन भक्तों का स्वागत करना चाहेंगे जो हमारे